Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The second Sunday in Advent is the day we traditionally hear of John the Baptist, who introduces the ministry of Jesus by preaching in the wilderness and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Matthew's gospel connects John's arrival with Isaiah's prophecy, which declares, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." So today I want to talk to you about repentance, preparing for the way of the Lord. Maybe that has something to do with Advent. But I don't think that that's what Advent is all about. I think the point of Advent is to make room for Christ's arrival, to be surprised again that God was willing to enter into our lives and history and take on our vulnerability in order to give us hope. God isn't supposed to do that, we tell ourselves. God's supposed to sit up there in heaven, alternately smiling or frowning at us, depending on our behavior. But the God we know doesn't do that. The God we know in Jesus comes down out of heaven to take on our lot and our life and give us hope by being with us and for us. Not screaming repentance, but inviting more of the abundant life and helping us to see in the face of our neighbor, not a competitor for scarce resources, but a brother or sister in Christ. So if Advent is a time to slow down, it's so that we can have more of an authentic life, not less Christmas. And so that's where I want to go today. Repentance isn't something to neglect because it has eternal consequences, and it does. But let me remind you that repentance probably has more to do with the literal translation, which is a turning around, a starting over, taking a new direction, choosing another course. This new course of actions, by their nature, call into question the value or rightness of one's current behavior. But the emphasis is less on what is wrong with what we're doing now and what is right and important and necessary, but about what we will do differently. Repentance also underscores that change isn't necessarily for change's sake, but rather that change is necessary because we become aware that our actions are out of step with God's deep desire for peace among his people and among his creation. Repentance, in short, is realizing that God is pointing you one way, that you've been traveling another way, and are now seeking to change that course. Well, when you put it that way, repentance can seem pretty overwhelming and discouraging. Just think about all the things that we could repent of, let's say in our community. It doesn't matter which camp we fall into politically. The truth is, we all want clean air and water. I'll never forget leaving the ocean breezes of San Diego in the early 1970s to move to Pasadena, which is located at the foot of the San Gabriel Mountains, which surround the greater Los Angeles area. The smog at that time was so intense, you literally could cut it with a knife. That's when I first learned of sinus issues and respiratory issues. Also, many of you know that for years we traveled all the way up to Lake Erie Angola, New York, to serve at a campsite, Camp Pioneer, right on the border there, or on the shores of Lake Erie. But did you know that in the late 1960s, the lake was almost declared a dead lake because of all the pollutants that were put into that lake? Poverty and homelessness, overcrowded prisons, the disintegration of family structure, divorce, crime and violence, the sexualization of children, all these things have reached unprecedented rates. And that list goes on and on. Those are just some of the communal issues that we're still facing today. And when it comes to personal behaviors, it feels like things have gotten worse. St. Paul gives a description of life in his day that could be posted on ours as well. Galatians 5, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." That's the course of the present world, this present world, of which we are sadly a part of. And it seems as though these personal behaviors are so difficult to resist, we just kind of go along with the flow of things, as if those are the norms, even though we know that's not the course, the pathway that God has planned for his people. As Christians, we're called to lead a life of repentance, and not just to feel badly and say, "I'm sorry, I won't do it again," but literally to change course, to turn towards God's direction. And so how do we do that upward journey? First of all, I think we need to ask ourselves, what is God's vision for the world? God's vision is so beyond ours. He gives us a vision of what it will look like in the kingdom of heaven. We heard of this vision through the prophet Isaiah earlier, that there is a place where there is no predator nor prey. The wolf lies down with the lamb. It is a place where fear and hatred have been removed. Isn't that a beautiful reality of heaven? Okay, Pastor, let's get your head out of the clouds and back to earth. We all know that the fulfillment of these visions can only be actualized perfectly in heaven. But might it also be possible that God is saying to us, "Yes, this is the world you can look forward to when we get to heaven. But I just want you to know that I have sent my Son to redeem you and to begin, even now, the abundant life." You see, repentance is not a goal to be achieved, unless it's by Christ itself, but a dream by which to set our course. Let me say that. Repentance is not a goal to be achieved, but a dream by which to set a course. That's the essence of repentance. God has given us a dream, a vision, a glorious vision to set a course for our lives that will align with his will. So the first step for repentance is to gain some clarity, some insight and understanding of God's vision. The second step is one of more personal concern. It's for us to choose one element of our lives of which you hear God calling you to repent or change direction, and name this period as Advent in the time to do it. And so we might ask ourselves, is there an unhealthy relationship that needs repairing? How about using your time differently toward a better end? Is there some practice or habit you might take up that would produce a more abundant life for yourself and for your neighbors? You see, my goal in this sermon today is to get you to think of repentance more concretely and engage in just two acts of repentance, one personal, one communal. My hope is that the season of Advent might be revived in our hearts and not just a time to be endured with sorrow until Christmas comes. And so the third step is more of a thought toward starting the real work of change, changing the course of your direction in a communal way. Haven't been real active in church life? Consider prayerfully an area to serve. As I mentioned earlier in the announcements, our stewardship committee sent out a time and talent sheet, hoping to give you some ideas about areas in which you might serve. We haven't had a great response. And I know that for some folks, it's like, well, heck, I've been doing this for so many years, and I'll continue to do it, and so why do I need to send in a form? Well, it's still important, and it's a little discouraging to the stewardship committee when they get five or six people turning in surveys, and those are the ones that have been doing the work. And so they're left wondering, okay, where are the people that want to be involved in church? It would be great to have that information on file so that when a need presents itself, we know who we can call. And so I encourage you to look at those time and talent sheets. And if you don't see something in there, you know, in an area that you would like to serve, you know, write it in. Let us know what that area is all about. Or you might also consider volunteering at a charitable agency. Or maybe donate above your normal giving for a worthy cause. Or how about extending yourself to someone not like you, ethnically, socially, politically, generationally, and even religiously? As fellow human beings, you'd be surprised how much in common we have with other folks, though we don't generally recognize ourselves in their camps. So, isn't this the point of Advent? To make room for Christ's arrival? To be surprised by the grace given us through Jesus' sacrifice? And to give us hope for the day of the Lord when all things will be put right perfectly? Because of Christ, we're given the privilege and the power to change course in life and to see a glimpse of the abundant life in Christ, the life He came to give us. I'm reminded, as we said earlier in the service, prepare the way of the Lord, make His paths straight. And we also prayed, create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. And finally, we sang, O come, Emmanuel, and the last verse says, make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. As we get ready for the coming of the Lord, let us set our course and align it with God's direction, so that we might see the abundant life more be actualized in our day and time. It will never be perfect, but this is the place that we can start and join the path that leads to the righteous life. Let us get ready to see Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.